It's the Aristocrats with Derek.
Billy, I can see your balls. Can you put some fucking pants on before you talk to me?
Matt.
Oh, shit. I can't believe how bad this guy is at wrestling.
Steve.
I've gotten into fights with my wife. She'd be like, are you serious right now? And I'd just be like...
And Kevin.
911, what's your emergency?
Yeah, there's a brown kid with a fucking pressure cooker, and I fear for my legs.
That had so much character.
I like these calm little moments before the storm. It reminds me of Beethoven.
Inconceivable!
It reminds me of Beethoven. It reminds me of Beethoven.
All right, let's shoot this fucker.
All systems go!
Heineken? Fuck that shit! Pabst Blue Ribbon!
Hello.
It reminds me of Beethoven.
Does it?
Reminds you of who?
Beethoven.
Every time we do the intro, I always think of cutting that part out.
Yeah, why?
I don't know.
It's just part of our history.
It is. That's why I don't cut it out.
Yeah.
But I feel like we should just go right to the song.
Really?
Beethoven.
Yeah. I don't think so.
No? All right, that settles it.
I think we should be nothing but music.
Nothing.
I said we cut out everything and just go right to, I'm gonna put this out there, Weezer, nothing but Weezer.
That's it.
Yeah.
Chances are anybody who listens to this on the podcast just like clicks and clicks until we start talking and then like moves it back a little bit.
Well, that's one of the things I was trying to avoid.
I'm with him on that because any other podcast I listen to, I literally just go, oh, okay, there's words and I haven't missed content yet. Good.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it really doesn't matter. You have the intro like 3 hours long.
Ooh, 3 hour long intro.
Wow.
And then we do a 2 minute show, and then we go home.
There you go.
Clutch says there's a very strange voice coming through.
Well, I'm Derek. With me as always is Matthew.
Hey, yo, Matt.
Guess who's back?
He's back. What's your name again?
Kevin Nash.
Kevin.
It reminds me of Beethoven.
Yeah, you came back in the Rumble this year too, right?
Yeah, I did. Big Daddy Cool, man.
Don't talk about my friend Kevin Nash like that.
Oh, you know, yeah.
Him and I go
friend.
Way back. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Way back.
Yeah.
Months.
Along with my new friend, Matt Hardy.
Yes.
Oh, shout out to my boy, Matt Hardy. That. What's up, bro?
I think we should just get right into that.
I love how you get all these people on the show first, too.
Oh.
You were supposed to get Mick Foley on the show. That didn't work out.
Hey, look, my first question was, hey, would you guys be interested in going to see Mick Foley? And you, like, immediately jumped on me, like, oh, if you would come to the den. I'm like, all right, fuck these guys.
I don't remember what I said.
Yeah, well, it seems salty, so I just backed down. I'm like, all right, fuck this.
Whatever. Was he good?
What, the Mick Foley?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, was it?
Really?
I did not, like, I had heard how good he was doing stand-up and,
how good
and all
is
that. And this just blew
so good.
It blew my expectations out of the water.
Really?
And Jen, who's not a wrestling fan at all and actually hates wrestling, I dragged her out there with me and she was laughing the entire time. He tells a lot of wrestling stories. He uses quite a bit of wrestling lingo, which was like the one disconnect that you could see with the crowd is when he would use the jargon of wrestling and some people
probably
bothered
to explain
it. He was
it.
Probably feeling out the crowd, seeing who was there for wrestling.
Because if he gets like a big pop when he says like the word mark or something like that, then he knows he's got like an easy crowd.
Yeah, he's not a dumb guy. So I'm sure he did that on purpose.
So I was tailgating with a bunch of marks and like boo.
Did he give the mandible claw to Vinny Brand?
Oh no.
No, but Vinny now the one upside is I've heard a lot of interviews with Mick Foley where he discusses his stand-up. So I know what the big pop of the show is.
Yeah.
And he builds the entire show around saying the word fuck. Yeah. So I'm waiting for this. And he's nearing the end. And Vinny walks up to the stage to like send him off before he got to the big punchline and the word fuck and completely stepped on it.
Vinny.
Oh, no.
Yeah. But this is the second time I've been there where Vinny is one of the opening acts.
Every time I've been there, Vinny has been the opening act.
Well, I guess it's easy to do when you own the club.
I find it ironic that
again?
Is it the same one?
I don't know.
It's the same one probably, right?
Are you skipping a little? Heard that. Heard that.
That's like, I got all these great XLRs.
I did, but now I didn't. I find it ironic that Mick Foley does stand-up, considering that's one of the things he can't do.
Well, you could tell that at one point he wanted to sit in the stool that was on stage, and the stool was less comfortable than standing up.
He's like, fuck this.
You know, I'm just going to stand here.
I'm just going to lean against this brick wall.
But Vinnie Brand was one of the openers, and the other one was actually a former...
Did he do the phone call?
No, they took the phone off the wall.
What?
My mind was blown.
What?
When I sat down, I'm like, there's no phone on the wall.
How's Vinnie going to do his shtick?
His other opener was a woman named Jen Bloodsworth, who was a former WWE writer for the Divas way back.
Mm.
And the one thing that immediately stood out to me about her is she starts doing her act and she's visibly shaking.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
So I take it it's like this is not something she does very often. Yeah. But like I'm watching her and she looks a little apprehensive, and then I see her hand up and it's just shaking.
Wow.
And I grabbed her and I'm like, she looks a little nervous.
Let's start heckling her.
Yeah. But
let's play four of her.
She was pretty good.
Women are funny.
Well, yeah, I mean, she didn't disprove that one.
Wow.
She did nothing for that story.
Yep.
She definitely testified to that.
Yeah. But no, there was a few things she did that was good. She was funnier when Mick Foley had her, spoiler alert, come out dressed as Diamond Dallas Page to tell a story. Yeah.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, that was good. That was
good for Mick.
It was a fun show, and again, a lot funnier than I expected it to be.
Yeah.
And this is something that like I'd be willing to see again and like is worth traveling to.
Cool. Really?
Like if he's in Philly or the city or something.
Well, now I wish I went.
Yeah, and you fucked up.
I did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I actually totally forgot about it until you posted a picture from the Stress Factory. I was like, oh shit, that's today.
I love that place. And I got a fucking, the guy at the door, God bless him, he's a fan of mine. So anytime I'm going, I tweet him and he like hooked us up with like, I mean, there really aren't rows. It's a comedy club.
Yeah,
so there's the little tables and stuff. But if there were rows, we would have been like third row from the stage.
Pretty fucking close.
I went there with
former Aristocrat Eric.
Yes.
To see Dave Attell. And we just walk in, you know, just with everybody else. Didn't get there early or anything special. Fucking right in front of the stage.
Nice.
Like I had like my elbow on the stage, and they picked on us all night.
Well, that happened with us when we went to see Voss and
Caroline's.
Bonnie, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
We were right up front. We were literally like where they were sitting on the stage and where I'm sitting right now.
Yeah.
Is like where it was. Like he could like hear me breathing.
I think the only one that really ripped into you was Big Jay Oakerson.
What did he say?
He's like, what do you do? And he was like, I'm a wrestler. He's like, what, like Jimmy Snuka?
Yeah, that's right.
Something like that.
Yeah.
I think Big Jay is like an old school wrestling fan, too, on top of that.
Yeah.
So if you say I'm a wrestler, he's going to look at you like, Don Morocco, what are you doing?
Or as I call him, Fat Dave Attell.
Yeah. Oh, well, the Voss definitely
stole the voice.
Dug into me with the Ben Franklin stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Which the first joke nobody got, and I got it, and nobody else. And then the second one, everybody's like, oh, that's what he meant.
Yeah.
Ben Franklin.
Well, you pointed out the two guys that are like Attell and Voss are two very like crowd-oriented guys, especially Voss. Like that's most of his material is beating up the crowd.
Yeah.
I guess you can't even call it material at that point because it's kind of just stock
it's
jokes.
Crowd work.
Yeah. Yeah, which I always kind of related like that part of stand-up comedy to wrestling. It's like what you do like with wrestling, it's like material is like the moves and shit that you do, but if you have the crowd and you don't have to do that shit, it's like finding the balance.
Yeah.
You know? And then I guess it's just aspects of entertainment, which according to Matt Hardy, I'm one hell of an entertainer.
Your good friend Matt Hardy.
My good friend Matt Hardy.
Oh, Christ.
I wrestled Matt Hardy on back-to-back nights.
Really?
Which was fun. We did a show in Delaware, and
you took a dive for him.
Sometimes you gotta do a guy a favor to become a friend.
Yeah.
You know, make lifelong friendships by putting a guy over, as we call it.
Yes, putting him over,
if you will. We did the show in Delaware, and he did the tip. I mean, he didn't know me. We've met a few times before, but we've never talked. We've never wrestled before, and he did the usual like, "What do you do?" What kind of moves you do? And like my style
you're
is
like whatever.
I don't want to get hurt. What do you do? That's really what that means.
Yeah. Well, my style. I serve.
So what do you do that won't kill me?
I'm like, I'm simple. I'll do anything. Whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
And we went out there and we had a match that the promoter, JD Smooth, said, quote, that got my dick hard.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yep. He just wanted to say dick.
And he actually had himself booked against Matt Hardy the next night. And he's like, listen, that match really got my dick hard. So I want
to
see.
That needs to get hard again.
I want
to
see the two of you do it again.
That got my dick hard.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, we blue-balled the shit out of JD the next night. Aww. Because the next night's show was running so late, and the crowd was just dead.
Really?
So I go to Matt, and I'm like, hey, I know you wanted to do the same thing as last night, but if you want to just hit me with your finisher right away, I mean, this show, it's almost 11 o'clock already.
Yeah, you got to think about the fans.
And the crowd's tired, so.
Do you have Skype on?
I do.
Okay. So,
who's Skyping?
Matt Hardy. Oh, I don't know. I just put it.
Probably Matt Hardy.
Oh, yeah, it's on.
You want me to tweet him?
Yeah, tell Matt to call.
I'll DM him. He follows me now. No nice. Big deal.
Nice. No big.
Emilio Estevez follows me, okay?
All right. Emilio!
I can see your house from here. That's an old dumb joke. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Okay.
Old dumb. Yeah, so we wound up just having a really short match the next night, and but that was the point where he's like, yeah, you have a really good concept of the entertainment aspects of wrestling.
You're like, well, Matt, I've been doing this for a long time,
and then we chest bumped, and you know,
yeah,
bah.
No, as he's in mid sentence, his wife leans in the door. Why the fuck are you still here? And why are you talking? I'm like, oh, there's another reason you want to get out of here.
You
early.
Gotta go. I gotta go.
Yeah.
My mom's here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But speaking of Emilio, I saw somebody famous today at Perkins.
Did you?
Big star. Big star. But not Emilio, you know, necessarily.
Not like Emilio big.
But, you know, just
one of the lesser known Estevezes?
No, not even on that level.
All right, how many degrees is he from Kevin Bacon?
I would say at least 3 or 4 dozen.
Wrong. They were neighbors. No, I don't know. So who was this guy?
Well, you know, I'm sitting there, I'm at Perkins, and I see this large towering figure walk in.
Ooh.
And I lean in my friends and I go, guys,
that's John Tesh.
John Tesh.
No.
Oh, okay.
Still not on the right path.
He's a tall fucker. I don't know if all you've right, ever all seen right, him.
All right, look.
He's like Conan tall.
We'll play a quick guessing game, all right? Jersey celebrities.
Like Jersey celebrities.
Big name
okay.
Jersey celebrities.
Towering, so DeVito's out. So, Pesci's okay. out.
Uh-huh.
Springsteen is mid-height.
Uh-huh.
God, towering.
Large man.
Maury Povich is pretty tall.
You're getting closer, but no.
Geraldo.
No.
Okay. Was a male, right?
Male.
Okay.
Yes.
Geraldo Rivera, by the way, listed at 5'9". probably more like 5'7", so not very tall.
Okay. What about Maury Povich?
He's probably like 5'10".
Oh, I know. What's that guy's name? Brian
Posehn?
He is towering.
Oh, Maury's listed 6'1".
Yeah.
So he could be around 6'1".
Who's the reporter from Middletown? He's on NBC.
He's Brian
Hunger.
Brian Williams.
Brian Williams. Who's Brian Hunger? Wasn't he on The Daily Show?
Brian Williams also listed 6'1".
Yeah. What about Brian Hunger?
I don't know who that is.
What about Brian Posehn?
Brian Posehn is like 7 feet tall.
And not from Jersey at all.
Brian Hunger. I got to figure out who this is. Ah, yes. He was on The Daily Show. And now he does a bunch of shitty... like History Channel shows.
Oh yeah, I know.
Like he stopped being funny.
Brian Posehn listed
him and Mo Rocca.
Brian Posehn listed 6'7". According to Celeb Heights, he is 6'6.6".
What?
So that is a full 2 meters.
That is clearly incorrect because everyone knows Brian Posehn is 7'4" and 520 pounds.
Yes, from Grenoble, France.
He is a hideous individual.
He looks like the bald version of a coworker I used to have, and it makes me laugh every time because they talk the same way.
He looks like he could be like Derek's like ogre cousin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would love it. Yeah. He's funny as shit.
He is funny.
Yeah, he rules.
But he's a beast.
Love the Brian.
I'd like to see a stare down with him and Penn Jillette. Because Penn Jillette is also 6'7".
Yeah. if you ever get a chance to watch Sarah Silverman program, he's on it along with Steve Agee, and they play a gay couple.
Oh,
but they're exactly like they are. Okay. So they're like two metalheads, but they just happen to be gay.
Yeah,
and it's really fucking funny.
You know, Brian Posehn also voiced one of my favorite cartoon. It was a short-lived series. One of my favorite cartoon series of all time. It was on MTV. And it was called Three South. And I love the show. And
was that with all the dead famous?
No,
people
no, no, no. That ran at the same time, but that was Clone High.
I think it was Clone High.
Yeah, there was like three semi-college related cartoon shows on MTV at the same time.
Oh, okay. I never saw this.
Undergrads, Three South, and Clone High, and Three South was Brian Posehn and the the guy who wasn't Ryan Seacrest that co-hosted. Yeah, there it is. God. That co-hosted
Idol for the first season.
Yeah, Brian Dunkelman.
Brian Dunkelman.
Also,
and you made fun of me for knowing Terry Schiavo's name. He's like Brian Dunkelman.
Terry Schiavo is fucking pop culture icon.
Yes,
icon.
Yeah.
Icon.
You never heard when they took Terry
and
Schiavo?
Eye candy.
They took. Ooh.
Well, before maybe she wasn't too bad.
They took Terry Schiavo and put her to that Led Zeppelin song.
Yes. Oh my god.
But no, it was
never
not
heard that.
It was not Brian Posehn that was in Perkins today. It was the hand that rocked the ECW, Big Al, 911.
Ooh.
And before the numbers 9 followed by the 1 and the 1 were such pop culture significance.
That is true.
He was the man that rocked the numbers.
I think he did like formally retire shortly after that.
Uh-huh.
Cuz I never saw him in the ring. There you go.
Wow.
Big Al.
And I'm sitting
He didn't
there,
look like that when I saw him.
And I'm sitting there and I'm elbowing my buddies. I'm going, guys, that's 911.
And they're like, who?
Exactly.
You know what you should have did? You should have like quickly like went on YouTube and started playing Frankenstein. And just like walk by him and see if he like, looks up. Yeah, we need some background.
I was gonna be like this. Yo, Al! Hey!
Hey, like, has anybody got a wrestling ring I can put up?
Just like Kramer.
Ah! Oh, God.
Who the fuck does Frankenstein?
Edgar Winter.
Yeah.
And still just a massive human being.
Yeah, he goes around the 6'6", 6'7",
oh,
mark.
Oh, God. Yeah, well.
350.
And it almost feels like even saying 6'6", 350 doesn't really do it justice. When you see him walk through that crowded Perkins corridor next to like normal size human beings, and there's just this tower of a man coming through.
Big biker looking dude.
Just not just tall, but wide.
Very wide. Very broad shouldered.
Yeah. Yeah. And he just sits down and they bring him a stack of flapjacks.
Yes.
Going to town.
Going back in the day when Steve and I were youngsters and we were wrestling 911 pretty often. I mean, Steve was 6'2", 60 back then and dwarfed by 911. To most people, 6'2", 60 is a big person. So this guy's up there. He's one of our idols getting into the business, actually.
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
It's not so much his height, his breadth,
everything about him. He's just an overall big person.
Yes. Well, the one thing that always interests me about 911 is you go back and you watch that 94-95 ECW, and he's the biggest guy there. And then when WCW started snatching up ECW guys, they bought him.
Yes.
And first off, they didn't realize how little he could actually do.
Yeah.
And second, he just looked like a normal guy when he made it there.
Well, that's because they put him against other huge guys. Yeah. Like Big Show is an enormous human being. Like, and far more athletic than Alan Younger.
Uh-huh.
It just made him, look like shit.
Yeah, and it's kind of hard when your only move is the choke slam,
and
now you're going against a guy,
opponent,
who's a foot taller than you.
So.
What was the Big Show's name in WCW?
The Giant.
It was just the Giant.
Where's the Giant?
The Giant.
And his seat on the floor was good.
I like how JBL still refers to him as the Giant, by the way.
Really?
It's very rare that you hear him call him Big Show. Right. He just calls him the Giant. I think that's kind of a funny nod.
Yeah, I heard him slip into that in the little bit I saw of the Rumble.
Yes.
I tried to see a clip of Big Daddy Cool coming out. Your friend Kevin Nash.
Oh yeah, he looked great.
Good friend Kevin Nash.
I couldn't find anything online. It was like the day after. I love it how you try to find something like WWE related, and you're like, oh, here it is, and it's somebody playing like SmackDown.
Oh yeah,
and it's like a video of somebody playing SmackDown.
God, I hate that.
What is this shit? It's so annoying because you can make whatever thumbnail you want.
Yeah.
So it can be a picture of like a still.
Yeah.
From what you want to see, and then it's like, it's cool, SmackDown versus Raw.
Yeah.
That's
exactly what I want.
What's
some 15-year-old playing a game.
What's more annoying to me than that is, you know, it's annoying enough when you're looking for something and what you come across is somebody playing a video game, but what bothers me more is thinking that, like, there's an audience that's looking to watch somebody
Absolutely.
Else play a video game.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, this is just what happens in the song.
I didn't know if, like, this
is when 911 comes out of the rafters in a spaceship.
This song gets very it gets very trippy and
yeah.
This is Paul Heyman to 911.
Yes.
Oh my god.
Certainly. So yeah.
I can't think of any jokes. Sorry. Now I just want to hear Ground Control and Misha Tomas.
The big white screen behind Derek is completely bleeding Derek
bleed
out of the
out.
Picture. Yeah.
Oh my god, I just noticed that. Oh, I'm going to kill that light bulb. Anyway.
There we go.
Boom. Oh, there it is.
Here I am.
Back in the frame.
Yeah, he's a good guy. He nurtured Steve and I. He definitely did.
From his teat?
Yes. Yes. No, it was
his
like,
hairy teat.
He's got Matt on one arm, Steve on the other arm, and just sucking away on his nipples.
That's fantastic. It's like eight nipples going down. Like, I got room for more. Where's some more youngins? Take
nipple,
under my wings.
The nipples that rocked ECW.
The man who nursed the ECW. Yeah, he was very down to earth in knowing that he was only really around because he was a big guy on the indies, and he knew what his limits were, which is probably why he like appreciated, you know, working with younger guys who were like kind of willing to work with him.
You never saw, I mean, as somebody going to those shows, I know Matt and Steve got to take a beating from the guy,
oh, yeah.
But at the time I was just seeing him as a fan, and you never, like, I knew who 911 was. Most of the crowd, I guess, you know, mostly being from not far from the Philadelphia area where ECW TV was aired, you knew what you were getting with 911, and you never saw when you see promoters nowadays, they get a name, a TV guy, and push them to do 8 to 10 minutes or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You never saw that with 911.
No.
You got that choke slam, you were happy.
That's it.
Basically, the average 911 matches, he gets jumped, he takes a couple hits, reverses an Irish whip with a clothesline, and I think that's when the choke slams start raining.
Yeah.
And that's really like, that's like a pinpoint right there for a, like a mid-card match to get the crowd kind of like, we just want to see a big dude do choke slams.
Yeah.
And it's like, you get that little like porno kind of half build up there. Yeah. And it's like, oh, there come them raining choke slams. And that's it. And that's all you need.
Well, that.
Do you think like he got the call from WCW and he was like, really?
Well, right. It's funny.
Well, WCW was just tossing six-figure contracts at ECW guys, so they just wouldn't be on TV elsewhere.
Yeah. Yes, it's interesting that you bring that up because there was a radio wrestling program in the mid '90s that I used to listen to. Slater introduced me to that former call-in to the show.
Oh, okay.
He actually warmed me up to this. Just a couple of guys talking wrestling. And we started calling in, and like we became regulars, you know, just talking about, because we were marks and we had the internet and stuff, so we knew what was going on. Yeah. So there's one show where Dapper calls in, and I was like, oh boy.
Ah, yucks, cocksucker, mother's cunt.
And I'm like, I want to call in, and I want to start yelling at Dapper. So I call in, and I start, you know, jawjacking with Dapper, and we start talking about how, because 911 had just been started wrestling as Tombstone in WCW. And I thought it was ridiculous.
Yeah.
And, you know, as a 14-year-old kid, I was like, this is absurd. Dapper's response was, and he's absolutely right. He's like, kid, you got to understand, this is a business. And when you got to make a buck, you got to make a buck. You got to put food on the table somehow. And I was like, okay.
Yeah. We got any Tombstone matches up there on the YouTube?
I bet we do.
On the YouTube?
We got
Tombstone.
I know we got Tombstone versus Big Show or the Giant.
I think I remember seeing Tombstone versus John Nord.
Yes.
John Nord.
John Nord.
One of the best things I'd ever heard about 911, and this is like finally the point where it put everything into perspective about him, was I was watching a Raven interview, and he was talking about that they did, and it wasn't on camera, it was just for the live crowd, at ECW they did a where a fan could get chokeslammed by 911. And they,
wow.
Yeah, and they had, I guess fans like paid into a raffle, and someone got to get in the ring and be chokeslammed by 911. And this is where Raven pointed out where as like big of an attraction as 911 was for ECW, he just didn't get it. And he said that where anyone else would have like chokeslammed the fan and tried to fuck him up, 911 gave the guy a worked chokeslam just like he normally would. The fan got up, jumped up and down, man, and cheered. And but he said that that part of the thing was like 911 was so beloved where anyone else had done that, their heat would be gone. They'd be done. Like, their wrestling career would be over. But the fans in Philadelphia loved 911 so much that they didn't care. They cheered just as much when a guy took the chokeslam and jumped up and cheered as they would when he just hit it normally.
Ay, ay, ay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well. I would just like to make the official announcement that Steve Number One will not be joining us tonight.
Oh, really?
Thanks.
Wow. Blindsided there. Mm.
Yeah.
I don't know, maybe we should just wrap it up.
All right. Well, it's been fun. I'm glad to be back.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thanks for coming back for our last show ever.
Yep. See you.
Yeah. That's it. We're calling it quits. That's it.
It's over.
Yeah. Can we get a little more, a little bit of Major Tom stuff? Yeah.
You want some more Major Tom?
Nope. Pass. You know what I could do is get a little Iggy Pop Passenger.
Ooh.
Yeah, let's just listen to music.
Yeah,
why not? It's not going on YouTube. It's fine.
Listen to some music, do some drugs. It's what we do.
Yeah. One of my favorite songs to play in my old band. Because Iggy Pop can't sing worth a shit. Neither can I.
Piggy Slop.
Yeah, but
Piggy Slop.
For a guy who couldn't do it.
There was a waiter at the Outback in Middletown who looked like a dirtbag drug addict Iggy Pop.
That's
which is
saying a lot.
Saying a lot, yes. Saying
picture
a lot.
Picture Iggy Pop, but hooked on heroin.
But dirty. But like
you
dirtier,
mean so the Crypt Keeper.
Dirtier or and Iggy more Pop. Rundown and waiting tables at an Outback in Middletown.
Wow.
Okay. We called him Piggy Slop.
This might be one of the best songs I've ever made.
Oh yeah, love it.
And because it's like almost 5 minutes of just the same shit, but it's still good.
Yeah, yeah, keeps you hooked. Funny you brought up Outback in Middletown.
Oh boy.
I went there for the second time ever in my life, and I ran into you there. You were there.
Of course.
I saw you.
It's
I
true.
Came over,
and
I
he said, was hi. There for the 102nd time that week.
That actually is probably a pretty accurate estimate.
Really.
Anyway, we live in this wonderful town of Middletown.
By the way, the name of the show is Piggy Slop. I gotta write that down. Go ahead.
Beautiful middle class town. I've never seen more black people in this town in my life than being at Outback Steakhouse.
Was
really?
Was it the first
yes.
of the month?
I didn't notice that many. I usually
yeah, well,
notice
you,
those
you were sitting on the bar side. Uh-huh. Once you went beyond that wall,
Was it the first of the month?
Really? Because I saw like a sea of Ric Flairs. Old men with white hair just like sitting. That's what I saw.
Matt, help me out here. When was this?
Oh, Jesus.
This just happened, didn't it? Was this Friday? Friday night.
Was that the first of the month?
No. But it was within the first week.
That's
so those checks have been cashed.
It was the first Friday of the month.
Okay, there you go. So that was the 7th.
Yeah, they were finishing up that work week they weren't having.
Yeah.
Wow.
Woo! Finally got my check. We're getting some Outback. Not the kids, just the baby mama.
Yeah.
Come out dancing. Somebody call Obama.
Oh, God.
Speaking of Obama, Michelle Obama came out about...
Yeah, she's hot.
She is. She's a very good-looking woman.
Anyway.
Steve, would you? Oh.
Well, it depends what
Her pussy smells like. I can make fun of Steve. He's never coming back.
See ya.
What's it with Steve's in this show? They just I don't know. Us.
They're the ones who wanted to do this fucking
show. I know. I got better things to do.
3 years ago, they started crying about how they wanted to do the show again.
Yeah.
And neither fucking one of them do it.
I know. But they can go to the Dublin house.
Yeah.
Anyway. Local reference. She came out about the Mr. Justin Bieber, who got himself.
She's the one who addressed it?
She did address. She didn't.
She like made the formal White House address. Like they have to. Did they do that yet?
No, not yet.
They're gonna do it.
They're gonna. No, she was on a radio interview and she gave some motherly advice.
Yeah.
To him. Basically,
what'd she say?
I'm sure I can find it. Let's see. Michelle.
How to beat his lily white ass red.
the fuck's this kid's name?
That boy ain't right.
That boy ain't right.
Want any wings, Kev?
No, I'm good. Okay. Thanks. I appreciate it, though.
She gets all motherly about Justin Bieber.
All right, let's see what she says.
I would pull it. You want to just...
I would kiss him on the dick.
Or you want
is there a video?
I think there might
put
be.
Put a video, yeah.
I got shed Iggy pop off. Sorry, Iggy.
Boo.
As First Lady, Michelle Obama is called to weigh in on all sorts of pressing issues from childhood obesity to America's veterans. And now she
kids
is
look like they're doing pretty good.
Now she is speaking out about a fresh and urgent national crisis. Justin Bieber.
Yeah, the First Lady making some surprising and candid comments on the troubled
that
young
hair.
Pop star. And ABC's Gio Benitez is here with more. First, Jay Carney.
Wait, was that Justin Bieber or Miley Cyrus?
That's right. That's right. Good the entire one. First family is reacting, right? Good morning, Deanna. Good morning, Dan. The First Lady making the comments in a radio interview with our friends at Univision. This morning, her motherly message sharing what she would do if Bieber was her son.
He's been arrested.
If I had a son, he'd look like Justin.
Flashy Lamborghini on the streets of Miami Beach. His mugshot going viral. Then his private plane held in New Jersey on suspicion that marijuana was on board.
Oh my God!
Oh
police
no!
Police did not find pot on the plane, and no one was arrested in that incident. But now, in an interview with Univision,
he stuffed it all in his ass.
Uncles, First Lady Michelle Obama is speaking her mind.
I'd pull him close. I don't know if it would be.
And I suck his dick.
Much of action.
She said.
Obama is reacting to recent well, headlines, including
I would punch him so hard in the face
Toronto
that he would fly into a hospital
in connection with an alleged assault on a limo driver last
yeah.
year.
That's a lucky
and
landing.
Bieber's
and I'd make love to his buttocks.
January, police yeah. looking for evidence that he was involved in a neighborhood egging.
I would be very present and
whoa.
I
very
would
very present
be probably with okay. him. A good chunk of the time.
Yeah, because he doesn't have any parental supervision at all.
To figure out who's in his life and who's not.
Oh, maybe you should check your husband, too.
Critics have said Bieber's father is to blame. But just last
dude,
week,
his father
the pop
is a
star
douche.
Posted this Instagram
yeah.
about his dad. I have the greatest dad in the world.
Yeah.
He's taught me how to love, learn, and stay true
and how to
myself.
Look like a woman.
I will forever
yeah.
be grateful because he was my superhero. The aww. First Lady says what Bieber really needs is a little advice.
I found that to be the case with my kids. They want that.
I love how they have the little
parents.
Audio
they
fucking
see you
meters
on a daily
going.
Basis, yeah. You know, cause the
she's
thing
actually
is,
talking.
He's still a kid. He's still growing up. So I'd pull him close.
And right now on the
yeah.
White House website,
why do you
website,
gotta use
an online petition
like,
to deport Bieber? And by policy,
for parenting.
The Oval Office must respond to that online
I'd pull
petition
him close.
Because it has 250,000 signatures. And Press Secretary Jay Carney has said a response from President Obama is coming relatively soon.
The, wow. the Bieber story is like swamping this administration.
Yeah.
It completely,
oh,
yeah, it's
swamping
all other issues.
But that's
swamping.
Mother, she does have a point. I mean, he is the breadwinner
what
for the family, but he's
moron.
Still a child, and, right. and he has a lot to learn, and he needs nurturing.
Just
so.
19
just 19
I got news for him.
Just
the,
19
the time for nurturing is fucking over.
Wait,
he's
Justin
19.
Bieber's 19
he is just 19
19 he is 19 years old.
One niner
just 19
is a one niner
just 19
okay he's 19
just
okay?
19
19 years old it's over. You can't nurture a kid beyond a certain age. It's yeah. done.
I mean,
he has to make these decisions on his own now.
Can we point out the biggest problem in this? That the wife of the President of the United States has to make a statement yeah. about this turd.
I'd hold
and not
close.
Only that, but they're pretty soon President Obama will be making his statement. Yeah. But like
this is this, why, but this they, is the people's fault.
Why?
This is the people's fault because the WhiteHouse.gov has a program on the site where if X amount of people.
I know.
Sign a petition.
They had to address the fact that they wanted us to build a Death Star.
Yes. So they have to address it with an actual, like, legal and realistic approach. Like, he can't come on and just be like, "Now this is ridiculous. I'm not gonna deport anybody for doing anything."
And I just want to say that everything that Justin got in trouble
hold on,
for.
Hold on. I'm not going to deport. Say that one more time.
Now, I'm not going to deport anyone at all, ever.
I'm picturing immediately just a bunch of sombreros flying in the air.
Exactly. That's why I said it. Mexicans rejoice. But, you know, he has to actually come on and.
We've made it, Holmes.
He has to make some kind of a responsible statement towards, like, yeah, you know, he is a pop culture icon right now, and he's. He influences children, you know, through his actions and everything. And
I just want to say, everything he got in trouble for, everything, for like a real rock star, that's like Monday morning.
Yeah.
He egged a house, he got a DUI, and there was suspicion of marijuana on his plane, which they didn't find.
Oh, and but he was drag racing a Lamborghini.
Yes.
That's nothing.
It's nothing.
Which I heard.
No, all of this is very dumb. It's very dumb.
I heard that he was pulled over doing 65 in the Lamborghini.
But it was 60.
That's it?
Yes.
Well, but he was in a 30-mile-an-hour zone.
Still.
Yeah, fine. But
that's like driving
a Lamborghini.
That's like driving 100 in a 50. It's like the same thing.
That's not like, you know, Ryan Dunn shit right there.
Oh, well.
I mean, I don't know how fast is drag racing in Canada.
I'm going to say
his dad closed the street off for him.
Did he?
Yeah. It completely irresponsible.
I'm going to say people in this room have done worse in a weekend than he did.
Probably not.
Whoa. Well, hold up. All right.
Speaking of you.
No. But then just back to the Bieber dad closing the street off.
Yeah.
You, as a father, Derek, your kid's pulling in a couple, I don't know, it's got to be a few million at this point, right? The Biebs?
He is spending $1 million a week.
It's certainly not
a
billion.
He's spending $1 million a fucking week.
Okay, he's spending $1 million a week. He's still got several million more on top of that. Your kid's pulling in that kind of cash. How many streets are you going to close off for him?
I'm just saying. Off the world for my son because he's got the world by the balls.
I'll call Christy. I'll have him shut the whole bridge down. I don't give a shit.
Christy, that's probably why he did it.
Yeah.
Like, Bieber's coming. We got to shut the lanes down.
Close it down.
I got a call from Bieber's dad.
That your impression?
No, you got to be like me. Eat some wings while you're doing it.
Slurp a little.
Oh, that's gross. Now you just remind me of Jeffries.
Shut down the bridge.
That sounded like Obama eating wings.
Hold down the bridge.
No, Christy has that nasal. Like, it sounds Democrats. Like he has a cold when he talks.
Yeah.
I haven't worked on my Christy yet. I'll start working on it.
Okay, good. Now that the Jesse Ventura is done,
I can bring him back.
Justin Bieber's dad called. He finds we got to close the streets for him. That's my Chris Christie.
That's good. I like it. Oh, God. I got a Chris Christie.
Yeah?
What's your hair?
Yeah.
He's governor of New Jersey.
How you doing? My name is Chris Christie. I'm the governor of New Jersey. Shut down that bridge, McMahon.
That was it.
That's a classic. Yeah.
There's a chalk somewhere laughing.
I'm not burning bridges, but I'm shutting them down, McMahon.
Oh, God, man. Another who gives a shit story. Can you imagine having the power to be like, I don't like this guy that runs this town, so I'm just going to ruin all traffic. And
Well, it wouldn't have been a big deal except for the fact that someone got in an accident and either got hurt or died.
Oh, who cares? People die all the time. If they didn't die there, they would have died somewhere else.
Yeah. A 90-year-old woman?
Something like a 91-year-old woman died, and she died within 7 minutes or something like that of an average 4-minute response. So
there's no helping her.
Yeah, there was no helping her. She didn't die because of the traffic jam.
I thought it was an accident due to the traffic.
I don't think so. Was it?
That's the impression I got.
Huh.
I
don't know. I'd have to read that up again.
I'm not really... learned in the news, so
Who are you, Bennett Brower?
So, again, I don't know who that is.
Bennett Brower was the character Chris Farley did on the news.
Oh, yeah.
Who was basically like Mick Foley, but Mick Foley, yeah.
Mick Foley.
Matt Foley. Yeah. He was like, I don't wash properly. He has the quotes on everything. Don't let my scabs heal. I don't own a toothbrush.
What a fucking
if
fat
only
bastard.
You could get it. SNL clips on YouTube.
I know. It's so hard. It's always just like some guy with a camera pointed to the TV.
That's it. That's all you're allowed to see.
It's the same with South Park. SNL and South Park.
Well, South Park has like every one of their episodes up on.
Oh, yeah. But sometimes, you just want a little snippet.
A little
snippet.
And it's gone.
See ya.
Well, there's a South Park clip here, and it's gone.
A buddy of mine sent me the clip of when the episode, I don't know if you guys watch South Park regularly, but the one where all the guys in town purposely give themselves testicular cancer so they can get medicinal marijuana.
I'm aware of it. I haven't seen it.
He sent me the video clip. There's a video clip where they all have these giant balls, and they're sitting on them and bouncing down the street on them. And as appropriate as it was with the conversation we were having, I was more impressed that he even found an actual South Park clip.
And funny enough, they did all that, and a year later, marijuana was legalized in Colorado. So they gave themselves cancer for nothing.
Pioneers.
Hmm. Yeah.
Pioneers.
Yeah, these XLRs suck.
Yeah.
Sorry. Fuck.
The one part of that episode I got a kick out of is Stan's dad's leaning against a telephone pole and he's smoking weed and the guy goes, what the fuck's his name? He goes, oh, your balls. And he goes, yeah, I'm sitting here smoking weed in public. And he goes, no, I mean your balls. They're huge.
Literally.
Yeah, they just put their testicles in a microwave to get cancer so they can get weed. And then they use them as those bouncy chairs.
That's ridiculous.
It's so amazing how South Park takes the dumbest shit and makes it smart.
Yeah.
It's so stupid, but just great.
Makes it smart.
Brilliant. Yeah.
People are all up in arms about Subway.
Mm. Oh, yeah, because they put rubber in their bread, huh?
Yeah, they put rubber in their bread. Well, it's a chemical that is also used in yoga mats and shoe rubber and synthetic leather. It's a chemical. It's not, they're not padding with yoga mats.
What was the other thing that recently supposedly had?
McRibs.
Yeah.
So now they're coming out saying, you think that's bad? Everybody uses that shit. McDonald's, Wendy's, everybody uses that shit in some portion of their food.
And the thing is, Subway doing it, that means not only is it like fat trailer trash eating it, it's fucking Olympic athletes.
Yeah, it's healthy.
I've seen that on TV.
Those are healthy chemicals.
Yeah. And have you watched the Olympics at all?
Been a disaster.
No. Did you see the opening ceremony?
I watched a little bit of it when we were
It looked like a fucking Bjork video.
Yeah.
There was just this girl flying a kite, and then she starts flying, and there's like force around it. I was waiting for Bjork to come out in like a bear costume or something. Mm. It was very weird.
Yeah.
And, of course, they fucked it up with the rings. I don't know if you saw that part.
Well, supposedly when they did, the lighting?
There was, like, these four big stars, and they expanded out to make the Olympic rings, but the last one didn't move.
Okay.
So it was three rings and then, like, an asterisk.
I got a loose information.
And you know somebody
here
got killed for that.
Well, I got loose information from Steve number one while we were at the bar before the show.
That is loose information.
That someone, in fact, did make a mistake and was found dead the next day with over 30 stab wounds.
Oh.
That is very loose information.
That's what he said.
From what I understand,
they report that on HuffPo.
Putin was in the back. He wasn't out yet part. And when they realized that it wasn't moving, the monitor in the back where he was, they fed in footage of the rehearsal where it did open so that he wouldn't see it.
Incredible.
Yeah. That's the rumor. A lot of rumors around this Olympics.
There's only two things I've heard about the Olympics this year. And one is that several of the people who were supposed to do the skiing and snowboarding stuff backed out because it's apparently warmer than it's supposed to be over there something.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
they said it's like colder in like Alabama than it is right now over there in Sochi.
Yeah, so supposedly like the courses and stuff are more dangerous.
Yeah, well, it's all artificial snow.
Yeah. That and that they're just killing dogs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Just
lots and lots of
biological
dogs.
Biological waste is what they refer to them as. And they were rounding him up and I guess going to kill them. And now there's all this things online where you can adopt a Sochi dog instead of having him killed.
Yeah, are these the same way that like we have cats that just roam neighborhoods? Yeah. Is that what this is?
They just have dogs
just pretty wandering much. Around.
Yeah.
So now they're just going out and offing them. So.
Yeah, because they're like an eyesore. The whole fucking town is an eyesore, though.
Mm. It says here the Olympic ring murder hoax is exposed. So they're saying that it was just.
Yeah, I don't think that was true.
Yeah, and I feel like that Steve would be the one to bite on that.
Well, I mean, he was just telling me what he heard, so he may have heard it in the thing, and then it hadn't been exposed as a hoax yet.
Mm. Well, typical American.
Yeah,
this was only
4 hours ago. It's saying here, so.
And there was some. There's pictures online of. I think it was an American. I don't know what the hell he did. Skier or something.
Bobsled
like that.
Guy broke through his door.
Yeah, bobsled guy. Yeah, he got locked in his bathroom in his hotel. So he just fucking broke the door open. There's pictures of the door just ripped apart.
Yeah,
and they're actually telling people not to bring personal devices with any personal information, but to like you know just bring like buy a phone and bring it, and then when you leave, throw it away because the hacking is so bad over there. They said that within minutes of connecting to any sort of Wi-Fi, you will get hacked. Like, it's inevitable. You're going to get hacked. So they're saying don't bring laptops with any information on them because you will get hacked. So just, you know.
Just a solid track phone.
That's it. Get a track phone and go get, like, a cheap laptop and bring it. And then when you're done, just fucking leave it in the dumpster in the airport.
Yeah. What else? The
speaking of sports hoaxes, though. There was and people just reading headlines. There was a story going around that got passed around heavily for a while that the Super Bowl was fixed.
Yeah.
And it was unbelievable to me just how many people bit on that one. Hmm.
The website it was from, I think somebody described it as, it's like The Onion, but not funny.
Okay.
It's like where they have fake stories, but they're not even clever.
Yeah.
They're just fake and false.
Mm. Oh, so yeah. The Onion.
But The Onion's unbelievably funny.
Continue.
No, well, it is.
Well, clever.
No.
Not necessarily.
I can make up fake stories all fucking day.
You can, but they're not as clever as The Onion. You can sit there and just read headlines from The Onion and pee yourself.
There's a difference between being clever and being funny.
Oh, no. I've read plenty of headlines from The Onion because people post them all fucking day.
Yeah.
And I never laugh. Ever.
Well, that's just because you're cynical.
No.
But anyway.
I'm actually the opposite of cynical.
Single?
Cynical.
Oh.
There was a cough in between that, so you didn't get all the syllables.
Cynical. Okay. Yeah. Was that Russian cynical?
No. Anyway, Onion's a big waste of time.
Had anyone just scrolled down to the bottom of the story, they would have saw the disclaimer that said it was solely for entertainment purposes.
Yeah.
But it was amazing to me in the 2-3 day span that this went around how many people just genuinely believe that the Super Bowl was fixed.
I saw one person post it. And I was just like, I don't know about this. And I didn't even bother like clicking on anything. Yeah. And that's when I asked you. I was like, is there any truth to this? And you were like, no. It was like, it says it on the bottom. It's a site. It's just for entertainment purposes. And I was like, okay. And then like after that, I heard a lot of people like actually saying like it was true. I'm like, what are you, dumb?
Well, it goes
on the internet. Must be true.
Well, first off, like anybody who follows football kind of understands that like, the outcome of the game was not supposed to be that. Like, nobody predicted that. But it proves the point that people just read headlines and are like, oh, that must be true because it sort of fits what is happening in real life. And then just share.
Yep.
Nobody reading the actual story or putting it into context. Nope.
They just see a headline, they regurgitate it. Which is why, getting back to The Onion, a lot of people will post Onion articles thinking they're real.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a whole website dedicated to Facebook screenshots of basically old Republicans, like, you know, posting ridiculous things from The Onion.
Mm-hmm.
Like something about Obama, you know, spending tax money on a new parrot or something. Like really ridiculous stuff. And they're like, ooh.
Yeah. I mean, it's to me, it's funny if it's a like a dopey, like 18 to 20 year old kid who may not know the legacy of The Onion, who's sharing it and believing it. But if it's like somebody who's of, you know, an adult age, you know, even like, you know, my generation and up, which I guess could fit into that because you know, that's kind of when you're aware of the Onion and the fake stories. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you still got to witness like stuff like the Weekly World News and shit like that. Like anybody who's in that bracket who believes it and shares it, like you're just, you should just die.
Yeah.
Like you serve no purpose.
It's the annoying part to me is like, it's almost like being part of a club. It's like the Onion is like they're just waiting for people to post it to like, so that they think it's real. Like to me, that's more of the reason so they can laugh at people for posting fake news as real news.
Yeah.
That to me is like the whole purpose of that site. Because the stories are so absurd. Yeah. They're just, you know, it's like, and to me, it's like, you're going to fool people because not everybody knows what everything is immediately or even cares. Like that kind of site to me is like, if it's just going to be fake news, I'm never going to look at it. And for me to know that it's from The Onion, I have to see that it came from The Onion, you know, and I only know that it's fake because it's on The Onion.
But I mean, it has a market, and its market
absolutely does.
It's hipsters and idiots who don't know
It is a nerd culture thing, and when people get like mad at like, I don't know, anybody for having like a nerdism, they think like, oh well, like they're into, I don't know, Star Trek or something like that, and it's only they can understand it.
Thank you for going with Star Trek.
And when you get two people who make like a Star Trek joke and nobody else gets it, and the two nerds laugh because nobody else gets it, they're fucking nerds. Okay? That's like, that's how I look at it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if like people like, they posted a story from The Onion, and it's like, you're fucking retarded. So.
Well, I don't have that much disdain for The Onion.
I do. I think it's completely, it doesn't have like any place in society today, especially with how widespread news goes now.
Well, yeah, well, I think that has worked in the favor of The Onion.
Precisely.
Who, you know, ultimately was on the verge of death until people were dumb enough to believe what was being put out there by it.
Yeah.
They could have gone the way of something like the Weekly World News.
I enjoyed their 9/11 coverage, which was titled Holy Fucking Shit.
Oh.
Yeah.
Holy fucking shit.
That seems appropriate.
Actually, I want to play something. I know Matt's going to give me shit, but...
I'm going to play something.
A policing procedure in New York continues to draw controversy this week as thousands took to the streets to protest the NYPD's Stop and Kiss program. The policy, which allows officers to kiss anyone who they think looks suspicious, has been the subject of criticism from those who say it's a violation of privacy and a potential breach of constitutional rights.
Can you go back a little bit?
Often say the encounters feel extremely intrusive.
Are these people? Are these videos of officers smelling people's breath for alcohol? Is that what this is?
No, this is all staged. Obviously.
Oh, this is all stage. I thought like maybe it was like highlights of like officers, like because they get
no, they kiss people.
There was that great little snippet that like just fit the story perfectly.
It's been the subject of criticism from those.
Oh, there's more. Keep watching.
Privacy and a potential breach of constitutional rights. New Yorkers who have been stopped often say the encounters feel extremely intrusive.
Going through my pockets, throwing my stuff on the ground, kissing me on my neck and face, they push me up against the wall and start nibbling on my ear. It's humiliating.
It's something you learn to live with at this point. Every time I go out and I see a cop, I'm ready for him to come up, ask me questions, and give me a little kiss just because, you know, the color of my skin. I mean, just you don't see
the color of my skin.
White ladies out here.
In his last month in office, Mayor Bloomberg has continued to defend the practice, saying, quote, this program helps keep New Yorkers safe. If someone is suspected of a crime, officers should be allowed to question them and leave them with a small and reasonable kiss on the mouth. Joining us now is legal analyst Susan
reasonable
Hughes and Mark
Brennan,
a former police officer who has defended the Stop and Kiss program. Susan, does this policy go too far?
It does, Rachel. Look, it's one thing to kiss someone who you think might commit a crime, but these officers are just kissing people left and right with no probable cause.
If you've got nothing to hide, then it's
this
not
is hysterical
a problem.
To me.
They just stop, ask where you're going, give you a gentle kiss or two, and let you go.
I am not saying that the police shouldn't be able to detain.
Anyway, I just wanted to show that.
It's such on the level of irreverence. It just that I oh, wow. Yeah.
I think it's
funny. I can't deal with stuff like that.
Why?
It's just terrible.
Okay. Anyway,
irreverent humor.
Yeah. It's the best kind.
No,
let's do something before we get out of here.
We got some words of encouragement from Clutch.
What's he saying?
You're doing great.
Oh, thanks. You know what I don't like about the chat? If you're idle for 15 minutes, it kicks you out.
Yeah, can we get something working here?
Apparently not.
So, yeah. All right.
Colorado CEO commits suicide with... Ooh, let's do a little guessing game. There's only three of us.
Oh, man.
What did this guy commit suicide with?
After
his company came under investigation.
What did he use to aid in killing himself?
Yes.
He swallowed a dime bag of marijuana and got stuck in his throat.
Oh, no. Nobody would actually die from that.
Well, if it gets caught in your throat and you suffocate,
Nah. That would suck right down.
Suck it right down.
He was looking to kill himself.
He was looking to.
Yes, and he used something pretty absurd.
Okay,
Absurd.
All right. Bear with me here.
Okay.
He rigged up a bunch of strings and pulleys in his bedroom, and he tied a katana to a lever, and he slammed his bedroom door, and the katana chopped his head off.
He designed a Rube Goldberg machine.
Yes.
To decapitate himself.
Oh, my God.
And in the meantime, it also toasted bread. Fried an egg, let a mouse out of a cage, and
he did the old David Carradine.
David Carradine.
Carradine.
I think he rode a big wheel off the side of a mountain.
What'd he do?
Big wheel. he killed himself with a nail gun.
That's
good.
A nail gun. Colorado executive whose company was under investigation committed suicide by shooting himself repeatedly with a nail gun.
Repeatedly. Which means he had to have done it once.
Yep. He shot himself seven or eight times in the head and chest with a nail gun.
That's good.
Oh, my God. How do you get that far?
Shit.
By at least three, don't you just go, this isn't working?
Yeah. Maybe I should just go to the hospital. Call it a day.
How fast do they fire?
Very fast.
So he probably could have just, pulled it.
They went in him.
That's like a fully automatic right there. Yeah. You're done.
Yeah, but again, I'm going to stick by the number three. If you're just holding it and three go into you and you're not dead yet, you're screaming.
It's
ow, there's nails in my fucking head. You're not thinking of the next place to put it.
God.
Whoa, whoops. Oh.
If you're not doubting yourself by nail number three, it's a problem. It's a real problem.
This was a horrible idea.
Why didn't I just buy a real gun?
Seriously.
Now there's going to be a ban on nail guns.
Good.
And was it electric? Battery powered? Like could you imagine you're
shooting... It dies.
What I'm thinking is it's fucking plugged in, and you shoot it, and you jerk, and it unplugs.
You got to crawl across the room with two nails in your head to plug it back in to continue to try to kill yourself.
Well, our poor... what's it called, Dirk? Our contractor at a work who comes in and puts up walls, takes down walls, puts up walls, takes down fucking walls. The poor guy... He got a nail gun right in the eye.
Oh yeah,
Years ago, and the reason why is because the company that made the nail guns decided that there was one piece, rather than adding it to the gun and spending that money on all the nail guns, it would be cheaper to just pay out lawsuits as they come for people getting injuries with them.
Thanks.
And he wound up winning.
Business.
Yeah.
Now we got another one.
Nail to the eye.
And he's still putting up walls.
He's still putting
them
up. And I think his last name is Wall.
Oh, yeah. Thomas Wall.
And bleep that out.
Good old one eye Tommy.
Well, I mean, both eyes are there.
The pirate contractor.
Both eyes are there. Just one wanders.
What you thinking of?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
No, he's a good guy.
Hey, yeah. He's a great guy. He's a great guy. He was telling me how fucked up he was getting on New Year's. Great guy.
Yeah, that's good. I'm going to be putting walls up all night.
Oh, yeah.
It's me and my nail gun.
Oh, but seriously.
I bet he still has a nail gun, too. Still
uses absolutely
it.
Does.
All right, seriously, power tools to kill yourself. What are you using? Go.
Oh, God. Power tools. Power tools. God, I don't know.
I'm just going to...
I just do table saw, I guess.
I'm just going to fillet a jackhammer. Just turn it upside down. Stand on the handle with my feet and just put my mouth on it.
No, I'll...
old industrial wood chipper.
Yeah, that would be good. I think I would just headbutt a table saw.
Headbutt a table?
1, 2, 3, meow!
And then you just lose an eyebrow.
Yeah.
Shit! It didn't go deep enough.
Table saw Derek Duggan.
Well, now they're making table saws with technology that where you can actually touch the blade and it will stop and won't injure you.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Huh.
I don't know how it distinguishes a finger from wood.
Well, there's electrical current, I think they said, running through the blade at all times. And if you have to use that emergency stop, you can't use that saw ever again. They test them on hot dogs. You bring up the video. It's hilarious. And they show you the little tiny chink. Chink.
That's racist. Chink. That's racist.
That it puts in the hot dog.
All right. Do we have to do this?
We don't have to.
It's despicable.
Tiny chinks?
We're staying away from racism. I'll show.
Let me get this. And pink.
Whoa.
Oh, it just sucks down.
It just boom. And that's it.
How does it know?
Wow.
And that is all you would suffer.
That's like a paper cut. A
little bit of bleeding.
How does it
and
know?
You're good.
Damn.
He actually, I don't know if it was this guy. Obviously.
Oh, there was an onion logo on there.
Damn it. I've been fooled for all these years. I think it was the guy who invented that one. Maybe it was another version of it or something like that. But he's like, I actually have to test this on my finger now to prove that it works.
Yeah.
So he's like, I can't believe I'm doing this. And he did it, and it worked.
Wow.
That's pretty incredible. That was less than an eighth of an inch of a wound there.
And just in time for there to not be wood shop anywhere.
Yes.
Yeah.
In any school.
And you couldn't even see the saw descend into the table. That's how fast it moves.
Yeah, it just disappeared. Yeah. It's magic. It's wizard. They made it at Hogwarts.
The saw goes, oh, fuck this.
Clutch, I'm out.
Clutch fixed the log out thing.
Oh, he did? What a good
boy. I'll give
boy.
Clutch a log out.
Yeah, or log in.
Oh, we got 5 people in chat.
Yeah.
Only one's talking, though.
I wish I remembered how to do my clutch impression. Clutch impression.
Yeah. Well, he is the governor of Clutch and Wiggle Entertainment.
The governator. I think we're out of here.
Wow. Okay.
Thanks for having me back, guys. This is great.
No problem. Yeah, I got an idea. Why don't you come back on Thursday?
Okay.
Oh, shit. All right. Yeah. All right. I'll think about it. I might have to call Steve or Steve.
Oh.
And see what they're up to.
Well, and do me a favor. Wear the same shirt.
Yeah.
It's like we're taping a comedy special. You got to wear the same thing so we can splice stuff up. You know?
Yeah.
No one will ever know.
Yeah.
All right, see Aristocrats. Aristocratsradio.com is the website. CWERadio.com. That's where you can hear us live.
Yeah.
You can download shows, new shows, old shows. Aristocratsradio.com. You can listen. CWERadio.com. And I think that's it, right?
Something like that.
Yeah, okay. We will see you on Thursday.
Johnny be bad.
Johnny be good.